The Lord be with you.
Oh, come on. Let's try this again.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
All right. Okay. Well, it's good to be back. I think the last time I was standing here preaching was before Micah was born. So that was like more than 6 weeks ago. But anyways, I want to invite you now to turn to your Bible or inside your bulletin to the scripture reading for the sermon today. And you guys will see that it's in Acts chapter 4, verse 13 to 22. Again, that's Acts 4, 13 to 22. And to refresh our memory a little bit before reading the scripture, if you remember from Acts chapter 3, we're told that Peter and John, they were going to the temple to pray. And they were there, when they were at the temple, they saw a crippled person who was born, like, you know, crippled, lying or sitting by the temple gate, asking for money. And when he saw Peter and John, you know, came over to the temple, like, this crippled man was like, can you give me some money? Then at that point, Peter said to him, silver or gold I do not have, but this I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. And you guys know what happened, right? Immediately, this guy jumped up and started walking. And all the crowds who saw what happened that day, they're like, what's going on here? Isn't this the same guy who used to sit by the temple gate asking and begging for money? And he's now walking because this other two people just shouted the name of Jesus. So they were all amazed with wonder and amazement. And then, at that point, Peter, filled with the Spirit, he began to preach the gospel to them, to the crowd. They told him about Jesus, about his ministry, about how he was crucified and then was later raised from the dead by God. In fact, they created such a fuss that the religious leaders at that time began to notice what happened. So they came over and they were like, what in the world is going on here? Who gave you guys the right to talk about this Jesus, this man, this criminal, whom the Romans crucified just last week? Who gave you guys that right? So the religious leaders got so mad at them. In fact, what did they do? They arrested him, and they threw him into jail. Right? And then if you remember, the very next day, they were brought before the Sanhedrin, which is like the Jewish Supreme Court. And then there again, they were questioning Peter and John. They were like, by what name, by what power did you guys do this? So at that point, Peter got up again, and then this time he preached the gospel to them. In fact, he told all the religious leaders straight in their face, you guys were the ones killing Jesus. I mean, talk about guts. Talk about courage and boldness. So that's where we left off. And now we come to our text. So with that, let us read from verse 13 to verse 22 together, shall we? When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for gathering us today, and after a weekend of retreat last week, and now we come back again to hear the account of what happened with your gospel in the book of Acts. Lord, help us to open our hearts and our ears to what's being preached and taught today. Give me the strength and the courage and the eloquence to speak your word without hesitance. And we pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen. Teacher Betsy, she was teaching some basic geography to a bunch of 8-year-olds. And the country of interest for the class that day was the country of Australia. Right? So all the children, they gather around in a big circle. They start drawing this big map on the floor. They're like having a lot of fun. And then they were starting to, you know, name the cities, the major cities. So here's Melbourne, and here's Sydney, and here's this and that. So at that point, the teacher then asked the class if anyone could say what sort of things they do in Australia. So you guys know, like, 8-year-olds, right? Swimming! Like, one kid was like, yeah, that's what they do. They swim a lot there. Yes, that's true, the teacher, you know, replied. But most people don't make a living simply by swimming, do they? Right? And then another kid went, barbecuing! So excited, right? Well, yeah, they do a lot of that. But that's just how people cook their food. I mean, in order to cook, they need to buy stuff. What do they do to earn money? So no, everybody's like, oh, I don't know, right? And then at that point, out of nowhere, a little girl sat in the back of the class began to say, well, a long time ago, nearly all Australians, they had to work in farms. They look after sheep and cattle, and they grow all kinds of vegetables and crops. But nowadays, people in the big cities, they do all sorts of different things, like business or making cars or making houses. And then, you know, but if you were to go inland into the country, you will see that most of the Australians, they still farm and do cattle. So this girl said all that, you know, out of a sudden. And the whole class was like, wow, what just happened? How did you learn all that? I mean, we only started, you know, studying on this particular country. How did you learn all that about Australia? Well, the girl said, well, it's just that we used to live there. You see, my dad, he used to own like a big farm, and we had like over 1,000 cows there. And I can remember all that as long as I could start speaking. Now, the point of this story is that there are a lot of different ways to learn things rather than just studying or learning things by the books. You see, when it comes to acquiring knowledge in our head, most of us, I say, we learn by studying textbooks, right? And we do that mostly in school. You know, we go to our classes, you know, we try to write down what the teacher, you know, said to us, you know, put it in our notebooks or in our laptops. And we try to, you know, open up our textbooks and try to memorize the informations or the formulas and all those things, right? And then when comes the exam time, we try to regurgitate and we try to reproduce those informations that we cram into our heads. I mean, that's usually the way we learn things, don't we? Now, for those of you who grew up in Taiwan, you know, at least for the middle or high school, you guys will all know the term cram schools. You guys know what that is, right? I mean, it's the private after-school programs intended to supplement regular education. So what people would do is that they finish their class from 9 to 3, and then maybe an hour later, they go to this cram school, you know, somewhere else, and they start to study again from 4 until like 7, 8, or 9. And they do that all throughout their middle and high school. Well, the thing about that kind of learning is that for most of us, if we try hard enough, we get pretty good at it, don't we? I mean, we just stuff information here, you know, it's like, oh, right? And in fact, I think a lot of us, we become who we are today, and we do the things that we do by hitting the books through the years. I think that's how most of us learn. But here's the thing, having a lot of head knowledge doesn't mean that you actually know your stuff. You see, because a lot of it is just here. It's just information. Because you haven't really experienced it. You haven't really tasted. I mean, you may know, you know, in your head that honey is sweet. But unless you make a scoop and put it in your mouth, you will not taste the honey and how it melts in your mouth. You know what I mean? In fact, book learning is often a poor substitute for firsthand experience, if you really want to get into a subject. And that was what was so striking and so amazing about Peter and John in this passage. You see, back in the days of the New Testament, the religious leaders, they were highly respected individuals in the society. And one of the reasons why they were so well respected is because the amount of schoolings they have received. It's like becoming a lawyer or doctors in our days. In order to be a religious leader back in Jesus or the New Testament time, you have to go through years and years and years and years of memorizing, of training, of studying the scripture. So these religious, you know, people, they have earned their stripes. And when they, you know, stroll around town, they will wear the special garments. You know, like, well, once they graduated from this religious institution, they can start to wear the special garments to attract attention. So you can just imagine, you know, those people walking around town, like, wow, look at them. They must know everything about God and His words and His laws. Wow, right? That's what people were like. And not only that, these people, they're really used to lecturing people. So if they were to hear something that's kind of out of whack from like their student or from somebody about their religious belief system, they will pour down their wrath, and they would actually humiliate them in public. But with Peter and John, it was different. You see, the text tells us they were not trained. They were unschooled. I mean, they didn't go to seminary. They didn't take the classes that, you know, like we do nowadays. I mean, you know, they didn't have their religious trainings. They did not earn their stripes. But verse 13 tells us that they were just simple fishermen, untrained, unschooled. But the thing about these two men is that these untrained men, they were able to quote scriptures. They were able to interpret the word of God like the scholars. And they were able to do so with so much confidence, so much boldness, like they had been doing this for years. So what in the world was going on with Peter and John? You see, like that little girl who used to live in Australia, Peter and John, they had a secret for their boldness and their understanding of the scripture. And that secret is the secret that enabled them to shock and amaze even the religious leaders of their days. And you guys know what that secret is? It's very simple. They had been with Jesus. That's it. They had been with Jesus. They had been with Him night and day. They had seen and heard Him pray. They had, you know, they knew how He read the scriptures in a really fresh and creative ways. They remember when Jesus talked about the scripture or the God's word, it was never to put people down or burdening them with rules. It was always to free them up. Now that He died and had, you know, been raised and had been exalted to the heaven, you know, to the heavenly realms, all Peter and John had to do was to simply share from their experience. So it's not about here. For Peter and John, it's always here. Now, when it comes to living out their faith, all they had to do was to share from their time with Jesus. Why? Because they have profoundly experienced Him. You see, Peter and John, I'm pretty sure that he did not just like, oh yeah, those religious leaders are coming to us right now. Let's find a really, really good way to explain to them what just happened. I'm sure that wasn't the case, right? I'm sure they didn't like, oh, let's think of an airtight argument to refute or to defend ourselves. No. Their experience with Jesus was all they needed. It gave them clarity. It gave them a sharp edge, a level of confidence that's out of nowhere. And the religious leaders, they recognized that these two men are different. And therefore, the religious leaders, they were at a loss. They couldn't deny the fact that the crippled had been healed. They couldn't deny the fact that Peter and John, they were able to draw large crowds with their words. They couldn't deny the fact that these two untrained, ordinary men was able to quote scriptures at ease and speak His word confidently. And therefore, they didn't know what to do. And when the religious did not know what to do, what happened next? I don't know what to do, so let's put them in jail. That's what happened. But we see from verse 19, Peter and John then reply, In fact, before we go there, after the religious leaders threw them into jail, they told them not to preach about Jesus anymore. Stop talking and teaching about Jesus. But then in verse 19, Peter and John replied. They said, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen or heard, in other words, experienced. We have to say and talk about Jesus. I mean, that's what faith actually looks like. Now, what can we learn from this account? What can we learn about their faith? Well, if you look inside your bulletin, you will see that there are three things we can learn. And I put the blanks for you to fill in. Okay? And here's the first thing. Faith is more than just knowing. If you have a pen or a pencil, I want you to write that down. Faith is more than just knowing. You see, like the religious leaders in the New Testament, many Christians today have a lot of head knowledge about God, about Jesus. Don't you agree? And I'm saying this from my observation and from my own personal experience. I think a lot of us today, we have a lot of knowledge about God. You see, if you grew up in a church, now how many of you grew up in the church? Can I just see a show of hands? Or the entire one over here? Right? So if you grew up in the church, or if your family is a Christian family, whose family here is a Christian family? Can I see that? All right? Now, so if you grew up in the church, plus if your families, you know, are Christian families, this means you probably have been attending worship services pretty much all your life. Or you have been going to Bible studies or Sunday schools as long as you can remember, right? True? Now, if that's the case, chances are you probably have a pretty good grasp about what the Bible is about. You may be able to quote a few verses. You may be able to retell famous accounts of interesting characters like Moses or Noah, the flood, or Abraham, David and Goliath, and all those famous stories. Or if you put your efforts in studying the Bible over the years, you may be even able to memorize or recite the Ten Commandments or list the 12 disciples. I mean, even I cannot do that, you know, right? And don't get me wrong, I think Bible study or the scripture is something that we can never get enough of as a church and as believers. Without God's word, we will be lost, you know, both as individuals as well as a congregation. So we need to be committed to studying this book. Agree? We need to be committed, you know, to treasure it and, you know, to treasure this book as if this is our most prized possession. We need to take the time to read it, to study it, and to meditate it. Like the psalmist who says, the laws of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. I mean, it's such a way, good way to put it, right? He said, the word of the Lord is worth more than gold. They're sweeter than honey, even right from the comb. So the scripture in itself is the essential resource of our spiritual nutrients. But I think our problem is, a lot of times, is that we have the tendency to equate the knowledge that we have learned from the scriptures about God to actually knowing God. We tend to think that the more we know, the better Christians we are, don't we? We tend to believe that the more time or the more effort we put into our Bible studies or going to different seminars or listening to different speakers, then we are, somehow this will get us better, you know, in our relationship with God. But the thing is, faith is more than just head knowledge. It must come from the heart. You see, you can spend years and years and years studying the Bible and still miss Jesus. You can quote scriptures inside out and still miss Jesus. You can teach Sunday school, even preach God's word on a regular basis, and still miss Jesus. Knowing about God is not the same as knowing God. Here's another way to think about this. Have you ever seen how fans react to their favorite celebrities around? Some people that have done really crazy things, you know, like crazy fans about their celebrities, right? For instance, I've seen people on television nowadays who are practically in love with Justin Bieber, right? They're like fascinated with Justin Bieber. And some of them, they have all his albums. You know, they went to all his concerts. They researched and did all that. Now, the question is, with all this information they know about Bieber, do they really know him? No. The truth is that we can research about someone that we want to know for all that we want and still not knowing the person at all. Now, in other words, we never get the experience to the degree of actually having a relationship with a person. You see, when you have a relationship with a person, you will experience happiness. You will experience, different like happiness, or you will experience like pain sometimes. You know, you would experience disappointment. You will experience joy. Those are the kind of things that we experience when we are actually in a relationship with a person. So building a relationship with someone versus just knowing about them are two very different things. The religious leaders, they may think that they know God. But Jesus again and again and again tells them, no, you guys don't know squat about God. You may think you know God, but he doesn't know you at all. So faith, the very first thing we learn from this passage is that faith is more than just knowing God. Here comes the second thing that we learn, and that is faith is more than just doing. Can you guys write that down? Faith is more than just doing. Now, by saying that, I think it's time for us to throw away the nonsense that religious leaders back in the New Testament, they were only all for show and nothing more. No, I mean, I think we have this really negative connotations about the religious leaders or the Pharisees. That's all they really care about. All they want is attention from people. But I think that's really not just that. You know, I think there's more to it. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders back in the days of Jesus, they were zealous for God. They were passionate and they were committed to their belief. In fact, they were always doing something for God. They were always studying and teaching the scriptures. They were always inviting people to the pattern of their belief. And they were always evangelizing. They were always like, come to our temple and know this God from the pagan world. In other words, they're always doing something. Now, if any of us were to have that kind of zeal in our church, say our church, I think a lot of people would be like, wow, look at that person. That person is so godly, right? Or look at how much he spent on serving the church. He must be really mature. Or look at the way she opens up her home to, for fellowships and activities. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't serve. I think we should. We should continue to serve God in the churches. In fact, there are a lot of things in our church that need different help. And we need you guys to step up, to become ushers, to serve in the worship team, to be PIC or Bible study leaders, or to even carry lunches. We have a lot of things in this church that's happening that need your help. But here's the thing. Faith is more than just serving, though. It's more than just doing the right things. It's more than just having the right practices. It's more than just serving the church. You can do all the right things, and you can still have your head and your heart far away from God. The Pharisees and the religious leaders, they were always doing something. They were like busy ants, always doing something for God. But they still missed God. They still missed Jesus. In fact, they didn't even know Jesus. That's why they asked Peter and John to stop talking about him. You see, you and I, we can spend years serving the church. We can spend years being on the worship team or the PIC, or we can even be elected to the, to the deacon board. We can be doing this and that. We can spend years serving the church and ministry and still miss Jesus. This brings us to the third and the final and the most important point for the message today. So first, we learned that faith is more than just knowing. Second, faith is more than just doing. Here's the third thing. Faith is ultimately about experiencing Jesus. It's about experiencing Jesus. Now, that is the ultimate measuring stick for our faith, whether you truly have experienced Jesus or not. And for Peter and John, they have been with Jesus for 3.5 years. They saw his miracles. They heard his parables. They witnessed how he loved sinners, how he had compassion for the poor, you know, how he welcomed the outcasts in the society, and how he got mad at those religious leaders, how he got mad and angry at those who are self-righteous, who think they're all bad before God. And Peter and John, they have been with Jesus. And that's why they preached the gospel, and they preached it with his confidence, with his power, and with his strength. Well, now, what about you guys? What about you guys? Now, I know that most of you guys have been, especially, you know, for those of you guys who grew up in the church, you know, you have come to the worship service Sunday after Sunday. You have learned about Jesus either through the Bible studies or from your parents or from the pastor, you know, or in Sunday school. In fact, I know that some of you have studied his words or studied the Bible for many years. Some of you have served him and his church, you know, for quite some time, whether here at this church or at other churches. And some of you have taught others, you know, Sunday school kids about Jesus. And you have gone to the mission fields on behalf of his name. But here's the question for you. Have you been with Jesus all these years? Have you been with Jesus all these years? Have you experienced him in a way that is so profound, that is so mysterious, that when you look back, you're like, yep, that is a spiritual marker that I can always look back on. That's when God was real to me, and I tasted him, and I experienced him. You see, like many of you, I grew up in a Christian family too. And I grew up in the church. And I have learned about God, about Jesus at a very young age, since I was 5 or something. You know? And during those formative years, I've read the Bible. I spent time serving God, serving the church to the best of my abilities. I try the best I can to be a Christian. But you know what? Despite of my background and my effort, I still missed him. It was until one day a friend of mine, he challenged me and he said, Walt, you grew up in the church. Your family is a Christian family. You seem to know a lot about the Bible, about Jesus. But, Walt, do you really know him? Have you really, really, truly been with him? Brothers and sisters, especially for those of you who grew up in the church, let me ask you this. Who is Jesus to you? Now, if he is really your Lord and Savior, like, you know, you say he is, then when was the last time that you truly experienced him? When was the last time that you really tasted him in a real and profound way? If not, if you can't remember a time, then what's stopping you from experiencing him? Now, at this point, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and the piano to play in the background. I want to invite you to close your eyes with me as we think about these questions that I just popped. Who is Jesus to you? When was the last time that you truly experienced him? If you can't think of a time, then what's preventing you or stopping you from tasting and experiencing Jesus? And for those of you that you feel like it's been some time since I really have been with Jesus, I want to invite you to just pray this simple prayer. And pray, Lord Jesus, I know you're real. I know you died for my sins. I know you love me. But it's been some time since I really tasted you and your goodness in my life. And Lord, here are the list of things in my life that's preventing me from knowing you better. And for some of you, it could be your work. And for some of you, it could be your study. And for some of you, it could be just the way you manage your time, that you're just too busy. And then I want to invite you just to come back before Jesus right now and say, Jesus, I want to taste you. I want to know you, not just in my head. I want to know you from my heart. I want to invite you to pray a prayer like that, along those lines. For faith is more than just knowing God or about God. It's more than just doing God stuff. Faith is about experiencing Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you so much for your scripture. Thank you for the account of Peter and John and the boldness to speak your word so confidently. Lord, they were not trained in any way. But the power that they have on that day came from their experience with you. That's what faith is ultimately about, Lord. And thank you for reminding us that. And Lord, let us not forget our spiritual practices, our prayer life, our devotional life, and our ministry and service in the church community. But as we continue to do those things, let us remember that it is you who loved us first. And that's why we're doing all this. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. In your name we pray. Amen.